which would make you sick. And they began to murmur. Gosh, Lord, how could you bring us out here and take us to this place? And what did the Lord do? He instructed Moses to throw a stick into that water. And the word says that bitter water was made sweet. We looked at another instance last week of water being healed when he poured salt into it, which reminds me, salt of us, that we are the salt of the earth. But then after the time in Exodus 15, when he made the bitter water sweet, he revealed to him one of the compound names, which is on the wall in the back, that he revealed to himself as Jehovah Rapha. And what hit me about this account as I was meditating it for getting ready for last week was, I can imagine the people really just in their murmuring, why did you bring us here? How could you bring us here knowing that this water was bad? So there they are complaining, being in the midst of something, just like we find ourselves sometimes in the midst of storms, particularly related to healing sometimes. But you know what? God already knew what he was going to do. He was prepared right then for what they needed when Moses took them there. And that's why he didn't panic. What does that say to you and I? When we find ourselves in a storm today, it's not when we tell him, Lord, this is happening to me. That's not the first time he knew about it. He knew about it before you were born, as he numbered your days. And in that, he has a plan for us right in the midst of that storm today. So what we want to do, what we're going to do today is talk a little bit more about that. Let me just mention a couple of other things that we talked about last week that are important for today. Instead of choosing peace like Jesus did when he was in the midst of the storm and spoke to it, they chose to murmur. And we looked at Isaiah 32 verse 17, which talks about peace. And it says, peace comes from righteousness, from being in right standing with God, which we as believers are. And then it says the effect of peace, and to me it's like a definition of peace, is rest and confident trust. Rest and confident trust. And so that's the mode that Jesus was in, and that's the challenge that we have, is to enter into that rest via that confident trust when we find ourselves in a storm involving anything, but particularly healing. We looked at a couple of other, and let me make one other statement. If that's not where you are and you're in the midst of a storm, don't condemn yourself. That's what the devil wants you to do. Look at this as, okay, here's where I am. Now, this is a starting point, and I've got just one way to go, and that's up. And he's going to take me there. So our attitude makes a big difference in that. We looked at 2 Kings 4, where Elisha had come to the people, and they were hungry, and they were going to make stew, and the stew was poisonous. And he said, give me some flour. Now, when I think of flour, I think of bread. When I think of bread, I think of Jesus saying, I'm the bread of life. He was also the Word. So when I think about, and Proverbs 4:22 says that your word is what? Healing, medicine to my bones. So when I think about that, and think about Elisha telling him, pour the flour or the meal into the porridge. And what did it do? It corrected whatever was wrong with it, and the sickness it was causing was now sweet, if I can use that word. It was healed. And so that makes me think about, what do we need to do? How do we use our words, if Jesus is the Word and thy word is healing, to turn what's bitter for us into sweet? And that's where we're going to go in just a few moments. We also talked last week, and this ties back into words, about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And we looked at it a little bit differently maybe than you've been taught before. Perhaps not. Well, what did we see? We saw that the ifs there, if you throw us in the furnace, then our God is able to deliver us. Period, or exclamation point. And then they said, if not. And I was always taught, if not meant, if you don't, if the Lord doesn't protect us. But what the if not is in response to, if you don't throw me in the furnace, then I'm still not going to serve. So what did they do? They made a declaration. They declared the end from the beginning. Before they were thrown in that furnace, they said, you throw us in there, this is what's going to happen. And what happened? King looked down and said, I see four walking about. And remember, they bound them all up before they threw them in. So how did the fire burn their bondage away from them, take their bondage, remove that bondage, and yet not even leave the smell of smoke on their clothes nor singe them? It did it because the anointing was there. And what is it that breaks the yoke of bondage? The anointing. And so what did they do? They declared their faith as to what their God was going to do. And I envisioned them with that confident trust being at rest, even when they were chunked in that fiery furnace. And that tells me if three Hebrew children who weren't born again, who didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling inside them can do it, then you and I have even a greater peace available to us today. It's already dwelling inside us. And so with that review then, let's begin to talk about today. Now, in the Exodus 15 scripture, the Lord reveals himself as, I, the Lord, am your healer, most translations say. The Young's Literal Translation, and this guy wrote a concordance, so I think he knows it. What he is saying is, for I, Jehovah, am healing thee. And it's in a present, continual tense for them. He says, I am healing you. It's going on all the time for them. Now, Psalms 103, verse 3, talking about, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, forget not all his benefits. It says, he who heals all your diseases. It's in that same tense of continuing to do it. And as good as that is, we got something better because our covenant, Hebrews tells us, is a new and better covenant. So I want you to go look at Hebrews 12:24 and let's just look at it. I want our eyes to see it about this new and better covenant. Hebrews 12, verse 24. Did I write that down wrong? Nope. In fact, let's start with verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. And listen to this phrase. Listen with your heart and add faith to it. And to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Do you realize that's us today? Our spirit man made complete in him. And then verse 24 says, and to Jesus, the mediator of this new covenant. Now in this connotation, it means everything that was in the old one is ours, but there's some things that have been made new that take it to another level. So we have what the Old Testament folks had without the works, and we have the new. Of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Now, what is Abel's blood saying? The word tells us it cries out, and it's saying guilty. What is Jesus' blood crying out? Freedom, no bondage, peace, rest, trust, and all the benefits that come with it. Now, what better place to start then than let's go to Isaiah 53. And as we read this today, we're going to be talking about the tense of some of these words in here. What it meant, the state that some of these things are noted that they were in the Old Testament. Then we're going to look at where we are today. So Isaiah 53, and let's start at verse 1 right now. This chapter starts by saying, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This tells us that there's going to be some who maybe don't believe, but it's positioning what is about to be said, knowing that if we believe it, it is ours. But the part about the arm, let me read it again. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To whom has the arm of the Lord? Hold your place and turn back a few chapters to 41, to Isaiah 41. Verse 10. So we're in this storm. And this right arm of the Lord says to us, do not fear. Well, how am I going to do that, Lord? Why can I do that? And then he answers it, for I'm with you. And by the way, in Hebrews, he says, I will never, never, never. The literal language says, I will not, I will not, I will not ever leave you nor forsake you. So it's still true for us today. And then the instruction to us is, do not look anxiously about you. How can we do that, Lord? He says, for I am your God. Then he says, I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. And then it goes on to say, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So he's telling us he's going to uphold us with his righteous right hand. Let me read you a couple other translations that I have noted here in my Bible. Amplified says, fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror nor be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. He's going to hold us up when we have no strength to hold us up. The contemporary English version, I like it. It says, I'm going to read the end of it. Said, I will make you strong and I protect you with my arm and give you victories. And then finally, complete Jewish Bible says, I give you strength. I give you help. I support you with my victorious right hand. So now we see exactly the strength of that right hand. In other words, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And let's go down to 4. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. And we're not going to go through each of these words, but you know that griefs and sorrows indicate what? Something that was carried and taken away. And then he says, yet we ourselves are esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But, verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our peace or well-being fell upon him. And by his stripes or by his scourging, we are healed. And the tense of that is in that continuous tense that he's talking about. So we know that this chapter is not just talking about griefs in the way we think of them or sorrows, but it's sickness and pain. And most of the time those words are translated in that manner. So let's look at these, all of them, transgressions and iniquities. And I'll ask the question of you, or I'll tell you, and then we'll ask the question how. They were covered, their iniquities and their sins were covered in the old covenant. How? By the sacrifices that they did year after year after year. So we might say they were covered for a season. And even if they messed up during the year, there were all kinds of sacrifices that they had to do every time they sinned and realized it. So to stay covered was a continuous action for them. Now, how about you and I today? In the new covenant, it tells us that our sins have been removed forever. And that availability of our sins being removed is true whether we accept it or not. But if we accept it and believe it, then it manifests in our life and we are recreated in His image. So think about this. They had to go through and continually be cleansed from their sins. We are already forgiven for our sins. Certainly, I mean, people say past, present, and future. Yes, all three. Because when this happened on the cross, you and I weren't here yet, so surely it was future sins for us. But what I want you to see is, what do we have to do? How do we obtain it? We take it as a free gift by just receiving it. It is already provided. The work is complete. How do we know that? Because Jesus doesn't go to the cross anymore. What did he say? It is finished. And then we talk about peace. Now, it's just like sin in the old covenant. When they were in sin, then they certainly weren't in peace, and the same coverings brought that to them. But how do we receive peace? How do we obtain peace in the New Testament, in the new covenant that we have, this new and better covenant? We receive it as a gift. Jesus said, John 14:27, I think, my peace I make you earn. It's not what he said, was it? My peace I'll give to you when I want it. What did he say? My peace, the peace that allowed him to face the cross and see the obedience of the Father, his obedience to the Father, and yet bring him joy. To see you and that bring him joy. That peace is what he said, I have given to you. So might we say that our salvation and our peace is available, waiting for us to take, receive it, and walk in it? That there's nothing else we have to do other than what? Believe. And then we come to healing. Now, in the Old Covenant, sin and sickness were equated. We know that from, I've taught in healing school before, in Leviticus 14, the cleansing ceremony for the leper. But what I want you to know is that leper was not declared cleansed until these offerings were made. So his healing really didn't, even though it may have manifested, he was not declared whole until after he went through this cleansing ceremony. But what does it say about us today in this new covenant that we have? What does 1 Peter 2:24 say? Let's turn there. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin. Okay, so we're going to die to sin. That means he's taken that sinful nature away from us. It's available for us. All we have to do is believe and receive it. That's what we saw. And then it says, and live to righteousness. Righteousness means right standing. What did we talk about with Isaiah 32? From right standing, from righteousness comes peace, which is rest and confident trust. And then it says, for by his wounds or by his stripes, you were healed. Now, what do you notice about the tense of the verbs used in that last phrase? It's moved from a present continual only to something that is past. So would that mean to you that healing has already been accomplished for us? And all we have to do is receive or take this free gift for ourselves? I believe that's what he's telling us. That our healing is already provided. And if we look to Jesus, and as Trey's gone through these top 25 that he's been doing, you never see Jesus praying to the Father saying, heal this man. What did he do? He did the same thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. He declared what the word of the Lord said about him. He declared the promise that he was representing that was imputed to him because of what he was going to do. And he said, be healed. Be whole. And so that raises the question to me is, why do I, and I have done this just like probably all of you have, why am I constantly saying, Lord, heal this person? Or constantly praying, which I don't, but let's talk about most now. And I won't even include you in this. Lord, I ask you to heal them. Or even another phrase of that. Well, I've prayed to the Lord about my healing, and I'm just waiting for my healing. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had had that attitude, then they may have had to be resurrected, because when they threw them in the fire, they weren't going to be in confident trust. Now, I want to show you a couple of things today that I believe supports this. We don't need to go to Genesis because we can talk about it. In Genesis 1, Holy Spirit's there hovering. Not doing anything, just hovering there over the earth. And what does the Lord do? He speaks. Starts with light. And then he, each day, he begins to speak. And this earth is created. And what was the last thing that he said? Let us create, make man in our likeness and create him in our image. Why did he wait to the last day to create man on this earth? And that's not a profound question. It's really very simple. Because everything that Adam and Eve needed was already provided in the garden. Everything that they needed was already provided in the garden. It was there for them to take and receive it as they needed it. Now with that, let's go to Isaiah 51. So we see two things in looking at Genesis. God created by speaking. Now when he spoke about things, I believe that they were already in the spiritual world and they manifested in the physical world. So we see that as an important point. The other thing we see is it created man last so he could place them in an environment where everything they needed had already been provided. Isaiah 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Is that you and I? You know, we say, well, I've already been made righteous. Yes, but Matthew 6:33 tells us to what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way of doing things, that right standing. And I believe some of what he's saying is get to a point where you see yourself in that right standing. So listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock. King James says pit. Normally when we think about pit, it's not a place we want to be. But this is a mining term that's talking about a rock quarry. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. So what is he saying in the end of verse 1 there? That we're to look back to something because in that identity of what he's going to be talking about, we're going to learn something about ourselves. So look back to that. Then verse 2 says, look to Abraham your father. Now let's just stop there. What does Romans 4 tell us? About three times, 11, 14, and 16. It talks about that if we believe, then we become sons, or that Abraham is the father of all who believes. And then 14 talks about us following in the steps of Abraham. Let me just stop there. Steps of Abraham means that, to me, that faith is a progressive thing. That we're not going to get it all the first time. So if we're following in his steps, then what are we saying? Well, when we started healing school in July 2 years ago, that we begin taking steps of faith and we begin learning and our faith would grow for healing and we begin to see manifestations. And now we're 2 years down the road and we're a lot further. And today we're going to take another step of faith. So Abraham is our father of faith. And then Romans 4:16 actually calls him, talking about faith, the father of us all. So this is talking about you and I. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When he was one, I called him, and then I blessed him and multiplied. And again, what have we already seen? That we have been blessed with Father Abraham. And then to verse 3. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. Now, the key question there is, who is Zion? And I'm going to say that is you and I today. This is a prophetic word about us. From 49 on, I believe it's talking about this generation that we live in today, this church age that we're in. So he says, the Lord will comfort Zion, and he will comfort all her waste places. Now, if waste places makes me think of bad places that I don't want to be. But he says, I'm going to provide comfort to you even when you seem to be in the midst of those waste places. And you say, well, Lord, how are you going to do that? And I believe he answers it. He said, her wilderness will he make like Eden, the Garden of Eden, and her desert like the Garden of the Lord. So he puts those two together, Eden and the garden. Now, what does that mean to you and I believe it's talking about the kingdom of God as it was here on earth in that garden where he used to come down and walk with him. And where is that kingdom today? In you, in your spirit. So do you see what he's saying here to us? He continues on and says, her desert will be like the garden. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and a sound of a melody or a praise. What he is saying, I believe, is that he has placed in us and made us place that garden in us. And what was the key thing we saw in that garden when it was prepared for man? Everything you need has already been provided in this garden that dwells in us. Everything. Well, you say, well, how about provision? How about food? I have to go out. Yeah, but don't think about it. Adam had to act too. He had to go to the tree to pick it. But it was what? Already provided. What he's talking about is everything that you and I need to live successfully and victoriously by his righteous right hand has already been provided to you and I, and it's not somewhere where we've got to go grab it and make it come and pull it in. It's already there inside us. Now, this is a key point, dear ones. This is a key point because do we believe that when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, that that's what he meant? And if it's finished, what did God do on the seventh day? Because he was tired, did he rest? No. Because it was what? Finished. Now, God's sitting up here on the throne. And I'll move over to where you can't see me. Jesus dies on the cross, is resurrected, comes back to the earth for the days he's here, and ascends to heaven. What does the scripture say about him? It says that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Is he seated there ever to make intercession? Ever to represent you and I to the Father? Is he seated there because he's still worn out from his 33 years on earth? Why is he seated? Why is he resting? Because what? It is finished. And then turn with me to Ephesians, the second chapter. Fourth verse. Here's another scripture that starts with, but God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together with Christ, and has raised us up with him. And look at this next phrase now. And has what? Seated us with him in the heavenly places. So I want to ask the question. Are we seated with him in the heavenly places because we're tired? Why are we seated with him in the heavenly places? Because all we need, all the work that Old Testament folks had to do to earn all this, is finished. Do you know that when Jesus, let me just tell you, when they were going to, the four guys were going to let the man down through the roof. And what did Jesus ask him? Well, what did Jesus say to him? Your sins are forgiven. And then he tied sins right into, or an act of sin, right into an act of being made well. And he said, so he healed the man. And then he asked the question, which is easier? For me to say your sins are forgiven? Now let's stop there. Do you have a hard time believing that your sins are forgiven? Or have you just received it? Now some people do have a hard time, so I'm not making light of that. But if we heard what Robert taught, for those of you who come here on Sunday mornings, that ought to free you from it. You've been made right. You've been put in right standing. That can be settled. You're there. And then Jesus says, which is easier? Now, notice he didn't say, which is harder. He didn't say, which is harder? For me to forgive your sins? Or for you to be made well? But he said, there, which is easier? And his point to him was, this man being made well is no harder, it's no easier than the forgiveness of sins. So do you see his instruction to us? He's linking this. You can go back to the cross with it for us because we can see what happened there. And he's saying to us, my beloved, it is just as easy for you to receive your healing as it is for you to receive forgiveness of sins. And how does that come about? How does that come about? Well, before we go there, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. We'll read 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen, and which the ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, that God has prepared for those who love Him. So what's He telling us? There are things that the Lord has prepared for us that have not entered into the heart of man that have already been prepared for you and I. And I believe this healing that we're talking about today is definitely one of them. And don't say, well, He's hiding them from us. No, look at verse 10. But to us, God revealed them through His Spirit, the Spirit who searches all things, even the depths of God. This is part of our redemption promises, that it is finished. It has already been provided with us. And I truly believe that one of the things that hinders us in receiving our healing is we think we've got to put out so many petitions. We've got to pray and pray and believe and believe and believe. And then we just wait on God to act. And what He's telling us today is, it's finished. Let me say that differently. It is already yours. Already ours. So what's the key? You're there in 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4:13. But having that same spirit of faith. Now we've been taught here, and I also believe it, that it's not spirit, there's a little s. So when it talks about spirit of faith, it's talking about your attitude, your mental disposition. Well, what mental disposition is that? I have the same spirit of faith as Father Abraham did, as Jesus did. I have the same attitude that when I believe something, I do what? Speak it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And look what this thing says we're speaking. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I speak. Now, that's just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You say, well, yeah, they spoke. What do we also see? That speaking is one thing we can do, even if we can't do the physical thing that we want to be able to do. Jessica, can I reference you? I'm telling you, she's going to walk and run and raise her hands and not see two of me when she looks at me. And it's coming out of her. And she's going to do it because we're declaring with her, in agreement with her, that we see the end from the beginning. And therefore, since we believe, we do what? We speak. So then you might ask, because speaking is bringing in that spiritual realm to this physical realm. Well, what are we to speak then? Well, the 17th verse of Romans 4, you don't turn there because you know it when I say it, says, we call those things that be not as though they were. Now, to me, that's just another way of saying talking like God talks. Let me say it that way. God says, may not be this way today, but if I call you this way, this is how you are. So what are we to speak then? When we're in the midst of the storm, we've been fighting for it for years. What are we to speak? We are to call those things that be not. We're to call our body, which is not free of pain today, which is not free maybe of some disease. We call my eyes seeing 20/20. But if I had to read some small print in my little Bible, I couldn't read it today. But I don't focus on that. I say, I call my eyes seeing 20/20. I call things that be not as though they were. Well, Minton, are you just in denial? Yeah, I'm in denial of its right to stay. I'm in denial of its right to stay. Are you in denial that you really can't see as well as you want to? No, I'm not in denial. I just told you I couldn't read it. But my confession is, I call things that be not as though they were. And that's exactly how God did it when He created the earth. When He created the earth and said, light be, literally He said, light is. And you know, light still is today. When He said, light is, this isn't going to sound right. Was light is? It wasn't, was it? So what was He doing? Calling something that was not as though it was. Now, some people will say, yeah, you're one of those folks that just say, name it, claim it, and calling is going to happen. No, I'm not. I didn't make this up. Didn't we just look at Scripture? I mean, we've seen it's finished. And we've seen we're seated with Him, so I'm not working for it. I'm seated with Him. I'm not on my knees in front of Him begging for something. Why? Because faith is not begging. You don't have to need to beg because you know what? It's already been given to me. And so when we don't know what to say, when there is pain in my body, then what are we to do? To call those things that be not as though they were. This is no different. Go to Mark 11, 23 and 24. And some might say that, oh, you're one of those folks that just believe in faith, faith, faith like Kenneth Hagin did. And yes, and I believe in faith, 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 and by it or through it, I'm going to get all the grace, grace, grace that He purchased for me. And so let's look at this one. Because if I am calling things that be not as though they were, that means I believe that what I'm saying is truth. All right, Mark 11, 23, and I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, I got to stop. If you could see what's on the other side of that mountain, you'd be shouting right now instead of sitting. That's why a lot of times I'll ask you, how do you see yourself? Before I pray for you, what do you see yourself receiving today? Because if we could see around that mountain, we'd be speaking to it. Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, that means you're full of it inside. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, how do I get that way? By doing just what you're doing today. By taking what we've taught this morning, by taking what Robert teaches, what Trey teaches, and going over it and over it and over it. Worrying, not worrying, but it's just like worrying, because you don't worry, what do? You just think about all the bad things that could happen. So you're meditating on this, just receiving all of this over and over and over, hearing it inside you. And let me tell you, you can hear my voice say it, and it'll mean something to you if you believe that I am anointed to teach. Same with Trey and Robert, obviously, anyone. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. But I want to tell you, you will get more revelation when you start saying God's word about you than when I declare it over you. There's something about your spirit hearing your voice do that. Mark 11:23, back into there. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, or believe it shall be. It shall be granted to him. Now, is that just saying what we just said? That when we declare something that is not as though it were, we're not doubting, we're not wavering, and this says it shall come to pass. We see it as a done deal. It's mine. It's here. It's coming to me. Verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. So when are they ours? When we believe? Is that where the period is? When we believe and when we speak. When we believe and speak, then we receive. Again, I'm not denying it, but I'm putting faith words in action which create. How were you born again? Romans 10:9-10. Believe in your heart. And do what? Say with your mouth. So why do we think that if I can do that one time and be saved, that the things that we saw were accomplished on the cross in Isaiah 53, why do we think peace and healing and prosperity, provision, has to come in any different way? Now, I am not going to stand up here before you and tell you that this is the easiest thing in the world to do. That is fighting the good fight of faith. And what are you fighting the good fight of faith for? Scripture tells us it's to enter into that rest. It's to get seated with Him, to know that's where you are, and then begin to confess it. So today, how do we proceed? I believe that the Lord instructed me to ask you, ask. The Lord is not going to make you do this if you don't believe that speaking brings things that aren't seen into the seen realm, then don't worry about it. But if you really believe what you've heard today, then we need to, each of us, begin to speak today that those things which have harassed us for too long, that today I'm going to begin to speak because I see that everything that the Father did at creation before he sat down was provided to man before man got here. Everything that the born-again believer needs to be successful, not in heaven, but on this earth, has already been provided to you and I today. And because of what Jesus did. And where's he? Seated. And where are we? And this is the key part. We are seated with him. And we are ruling and reigning with him today. So before we confess, one last question. Are you a king? The answer is yes, and a priest. How does a king rule? If a king wants a ditch dug, does he go grab a shovel? How does he rule? He commands. He tells someone else. In other words, he speaks. Go dig the ditch. And what does he consider when he speaks that command? Does he see it as, well, I guess they'll get around to it one day? He sees it as done today. So today, and we'll open the altar for people to come who want to have folks lay hands on them and pray. God is, he's merciful. He's provided so many different ways for us to receive him. I personally believe this is his best way for us to believe it and to receive it and take what he has. So it's going to get noisy in here if you're going to do this with me, because I want you to begin to call those things that you've been fighting, that you've been asking him for. I want you to say to him today, Lord, I've heard your word, and I want you to say this out loud. So I don't want you to listen to anybody else. If you want to move over in the corner by yourself, that's fine. I've heard your word, and if you believe what you heard today, then tell him that. I believe it, and therefore today I take a stand that says, I receive what you have already provided. Therefore, I call and name it. And if you got three or four things you need to name, and let's just face it, most of us do. I'm confessing over knees still. I'm confessing about some joints and things that I don't have as quite as much motion. Then I'm going to begin to call my shoulder as having full mobility in Jesus' name. I'm going to call my knees whole in Jesus' name. Now, how are we going to do other things? I'm going to call allergies whole. Don't own them. Okay? Don't call them mine. If some of you are fighting a diagnosis that is much worse than a runny nose, and I'm not ashamed to say cancer, then let's don't look at cancer any different. Because that righteous right arm is what? Victorious. And he's the one providing the strength, not you. He's the one that's already done it. So I declare cancer in my body. I declare you dead. I command you to loose your hold on me. And I command my body to respond. And I call myself free. Whatever it is, if it's headaches, whatever it is, let's just take a few moments. And sometimes when you ask people to do this, a minute seems like an eternity to you. Worship him. Worship him first. And then begin declaring over yourself in the next 3 to 5 minutes, I call myself free of whatever it is. Declare those things that be not as though they were. And if they were, then what does that mean? They are. One last comment. If your faith from your heart won't move your tongue, it won't move your mountain. That's why I think it's important to speak. Well, what do I do if I feel better and then I walk out and then the symptom tries to come back? Speak to it again. Declare what you just declared and give Him thanks for doing it. This is how we fight the good fight of faith. So, as Miss Judy prays, let's just begin to worship. And then when I turn my microphone off, then I want you to begin declaring, because I don't want you listening to me. I'm going to declare those things in my life that be not as though they were. I want you to just focus on the Lord, the fact that it's already done. It is inside you, and receive what He has for you today. So Father, we worship You. I thank You for Your provision. I thank You for giving us a revelation that everything has been provided, that Jesus did it all on the cross, just like You did it all and provided all for man in the beginning. We thank You that that garden has been placed inside me. We thank You that my sins, my iniquities are forgiven today, that I have been given the gift of peace, the same peace that Jesus had, and that healing power already resides in me because Jesus said, by His stripes I were healed. So, Father, we honor You today. Jesus, we worship You for what You did on that cross, for taking my pains, carrying them away. And, Father, as we praise You, we're just going to now begin to just declare the end that we see, that peace, that healing, that wholeness, that righteousness, which means no condemnation. We're going to declare those things over ourselves now. And we do it as worship to You. We're saying we humble ourselves. We agree with Your words, and we are speaking Your words over us today. In Jesus' name.